Thanks for tuning in to the Next Level Church podcast. For more information, check out our website at nextlevelchurch.net.
Good morning. You guys are looking awesome. I don't know if anyone has told you that today, but let me be one of the first people to tell you that you look awesome, and it's so good to see you. Thank you guys for being here. Thanks for making the 8:30 your service. Today, we're continuing our series, Unicorn Christians, and I hope if you're a regular at Next Level, I hope that if you're an owner, you've been following along, either coming to our in-person or you've been listening to our podcast. If you ever have to miss a week, you can check out our series. They are on our podcast at nextlevelchurch.net, or you can check it out on iTunes. And I hope that you've been following along. But if you're a first-time guest, I want to let you know that we understand it's a little bit weird, this term unicorn Christians. Everyone knows what a unicorn is. It is a mythical creature that pukes rainbows and toots glitter. But in our culture, when they talk about unicorns, this is what they mean. A unicorn is something that is highly desirable but difficult to obtain. And my goal in this series is to help inspire and for God to speak to all of us here that we would become unicorn Christians. What is a unicorn Christian? A unicorn Christian is someone who lives out their faith. They live out their faith in a way that is highly desirable, and they show other people, yes, it's difficult to obtain, but we can do it. With God's help, we can do it. And I'm hoping that even if it's just a couple people, I'm hoping that someone will help me out on this. I'm hoping that someone will help change the world, because the truth is I can't do it alone. We are better together, and we need some people to take their faith seriously. In fact, I believe that even if just a few of us took our faith seriously and lived for Jesus, I believe that we would have the potential to change the world. Because we've seen it happen before. Stick with me on this one, okay? I'm about to say something that may sound controversial. It's not as controversial as what it sounds, okay? Jesus is not the one that changed the world. Let me finish that thought before you crucify me. What Jesus did changed the world. So Jesus came, he lived a perfect life. He then was crucified for our sins, that anyone who believes in him will be forgiven and can have a relationship with God. He died on the cross. 3 days later, he rose again. He hung out for a handful of days with his closest followers. And then he said, deuces, I'm going back to heaven. I leave with you the Holy Spirit. At that moment, the scriptures tell us there's only a handful of people who believe in Jesus. It's not like when he rose again, all of a sudden millions of people put their faith in Jesus. What changed the world was the fact that it's just a small group of people, some influential women and some of his disciples, they got together and they said, we are going to live out our faith. If they persecute us, we're going to love them more. If they kill us, we're going to love them more. We're going to take care of the poor. We're going to love the needy. We are going to change the world because we're going to live out the message of our Savior who we saw rise from the dead. So what actually changed the world was Jesus' disciples living out their faith. Because when Jesus came back, there was only a few handful of people that remained and believed in him. And so we've seen it happen in history before, and I'm convinced that we can see it happen again. But in order for that to happen, you have to take ownership of your faith. The truth of the matter, and something that we've been talking about every week in this series, is that people are watching you. And the way that you interact with people, if you say that you are a Christian, it impacts the way that they perceive not just Christians, but ultimately God. The way that you live for your Savior, the way that you live out your faith, someone is watching you. And when you are a unicorn Christian, when you live out your faith, when you love those who are unlovable, when you forgive, even when it's difficult to forgive, when you put into practice the things that you believe, people take notice. But the truth is that people also take notice when we drop the ball. I was talking a few months ago to my friend who's become really jaded against the church. And he was my best friend in college, and he used to be on church staff. And he's no longer a part of the church staff. He's now in the corporate world, and he doesn't even know if he believes in God anymore. And when I say that he's jaded against the church, I want to make sure that you know that he's not one of those people that is looking for excuses to not go to church. Like, have you ever met someone that, like, they blame everything, and they're like, that's the reason why I don't go to church? Like, I saw this meme. I thought it was pretty funny. It says, the news, local pastor spills a glass of water. People, that's why I don't go to church. Right? Have you ever met someone like that? That, like, they just look for excuses. They look for, you know, that's why I don't go to church, because of that person. Like, there are people out there like that, but that's not my friend. My friend is someone who took his faith very seriously. But at this point in his life, he's no longer a part of a church, and it's interesting that he's working in the corporate world, and the two guys that he works with are also former pastors and church staff. And they're incredibly jaded against the church, and they're incredibly jaded against Christians. And he was venting to me because he felt like I was a safe person, and he came up to the conclusion that the reason that I'm not jaded against the church is because I've never been hurt by Christians. And so I told him what I'm about to tell you, and what I want you to know is this is not something that I share very often. This is not something that I broadcast. I'm going to be vulnerable with you, and I want to tell you why I'm doing this. I'm telling you this so you can understand my heart of what I'm asking ultimately for you to do. I'm not looking for sympathy. What you're about to hear, it's difficult, and it's difficult for me to share, but I don't want you to say, oh, I'm sorry, or that's bad. I want you to have empathy to know that you can be hurt and still fall in love with Jesus. You see, I grew up going to church, and I'm very thankful that my parents raised me in a household where I grew up going to church, but the truth is that I wasn't serious about my faith. I went to church because I didn't know I could skip. When I was in early high school, we got a new youth pastor at our church, and when he preached, it was the very first time that I ever leaned in and actually paid attention. The first time in my life that I was like, wow, this is interesting. And I would lean in and listen to what he said, and he was funny, and he was passionate, and he influenced me in great ways. In fact, if you are here today and you like my preaching, a lot of it is because of this youth pastor. It's because of what I saw him do. But not only was he a great preacher, he also influenced me and invested in my life. And he is the first person that said, Rob, you got to take your faith seriously. And he challenged me and encouraged me to read the Bible for myself. And he put me in an accountability group where we could keep one another accountable. And I grew in my faith so much in the 2 years under his leadership. But my junior year, we're going on a ski trip, a youth group ski trip. And we show up early in the morning, and our youth pastor is not there. And the pastor greets us, and he says that our youth pastor is no longer going to be our youth pastor, and that we're not to have any contact with him, and if he contacts us, we're not to talk to him. Now, I was close to him, so I knew what was going on behind the scenes, but I wasn't allowed to talk about it. The guy who influenced my life more than maybe anyone spiritually got into an inappropriate relationship with a student, and he was instantly fired, and he was instantly told he could have no contact with any of the students or with anyone in the church. When we got back from the ski trip, he called me, the youth pastor called me on his cell phone in his car. And he said, Rob, I keep thinking about taking my car and driving it into a tree and ending my life. Can you give me one reason why I shouldn't take my life? That's a big question to put on a junior in high school. And the truth is, I was hurting because my mentor, the person I looked up to more than anyone else, had let us all down. And I was hurting too. Thankfully, he didn't take his life. But the consequence of his decision meant that someone who was very gifted and talented in ministry is no longer in ministry, and it breaks my heart. There are other instances, though. I remember when in high school, I had a good amount of friends. I felt like I had friends. I wasn't like a lonely kid, but I didn't have a lot of friends that loved Jesus. But there was one guy who was passionate about his faith, and one of the things that I loved about this guy is he was cool and he was popular, but he wasn't afraid to talk about Jesus. And specifically, he would go do what we call evangelism. He would tell people who don't go to church about Jesus, and because he was a cool guy, people would listen. And I looked up to him because I'm often afraid to talk about my faith. Like, I don't want people to feel offended or bothered, and so I would just sit in awe as he would tell complete strangers about Jesus. And this guy was a guy that was passionate for Jesus, and he loved Jesus, and he was one of my only friends that actually talked about Jesus on a regular basis. Our freshman year of college, he was supposed to be coming over to my house to stay the night, and he didn't show up. The reason he didn't show up is because he was having an affair with a married woman, and news broke that she was pregnant. And this rocked our church. It rocked it. And God gives grace, and God gives forgiveness, and I'm so thankful for that, but there are still consequences for decisions that we make and the consequences of his decision, he's still feeling that even though it's 20-some years later. One of the pastors that I looked up to a lot in the church world, a pastor who I went to multiple of his conferences and I read multiple of his books and I listened to him preach on a regular basis. Just a few years ago, he was fired from his church because it was found out that he was an alcoholic and he was having an inappropriate relationship and he was cheating on his wife. And so the church that he started, he was fired from and released. And it breaks my heart to look up to someone and say, that's a guy that I want to be like, but yet I see that he struggles. And that struggle has led to a bunch of consequences and brokenness. But it's not just scandals. It's also just Christians letting us down. When I was in seminary, my wife and I went to a church in Texas. And it was the first church that we ever went to that I knew I learned that you don't have to wear a suit to go to church. Did anyone grow up going to church where everyone wore suits? Right, that was my church experience. But when I went to seminary, like they all wore jeans and they wore t-shirts. And I was like, can you do this? Like this doesn't feel appropriate. And the church we were part of radically changed my understanding of what you could do at church. And while I was there, they had a position open up in their middle school ministry. And I thought, well, I love this church. I'll apply to be a part of this staff. And so I applied for the position, and I went through the interview process. And a week later, they called me, and they told me that I didn't get the job because I did not fit with the staff culture. Now, that's hard for anyone to hear, but, like, I get it. Like, not everyone can fit everywhere. And so I said, no worries. You know, thank you very much for considering me. And I didn't think anything of it. But about a month later, I was hanging out with the guy that was the head of the entire student ministry. He was the boss of the guy that interviewed me. And we're hanging out at a friend's house, and at the end of the night, he's like, Rob, I really like you. I want you to come work for me. And I said, I tried. And he said, no, you didn't. I said, yeah, I did. I tried. He said, no, there's no way. I would have known it if you tried to work for us. I said, I did. I applied. And I gave the name of the guy I applied for. And he said, well, why did he tell you that you didn't get the job? I said, well, he said that I didn't fit in with the staff culture. And he said, he's a liar. He never talked to any of us. And just in a matter of weeks, that guy that interviewed me was fired for inappropriate behavior. When you see this kind of stuff happen in the church, it is very easy to make it impact your relationship, not just with the church, but with God. But it's not just church staff and pastors. It's also Christians. I've been told to my face by people who say, I love you, I'm with you, I'm for you, and then the very next week they left the church. I've been told by people, we love you, I'm for you, and then they gossip behind my back and they won't talk about what's really going on. I've been told by people, hey, we're going to come visit your church, we're excited about what God is doing, and then they never show up. Everywhere I look, there is brokenness with Christians, and if you're not careful, if you put your faith in a human being, it will lead to jadedness and brokenness towards not just the church, but also to God. And this challenge to be a unicorn Christian, it is so important because people are watching. And I want your experience to be different than my experience. I want when someone looks at your life for them to say, you know what, that is a person who actually believes what they say they believe. Why? Because the world is watching. And I want to show us why this is so important in our scripture for today. And I want to also challenge, if you're here today and you would say that you're hurt by the church or you have been hurt by the church, I think this is going to speak to you. I think it's going to speak to two groups of people, those who are afraid to do something with their faith and also those who have been hurt. And that's the reason why maybe you're not passionate about your faith. Our scripture that's going to lead us today is written by the Apostle Paul. He is a primetime player in the scriptures, and he wrote a letter to the Christians living in Rome. And we're going to read the text. At Next Level, we honor the text by standing to our feet. So I want to invite you to stand up and read with me nice and loud, Romans 3:3. When we get to the reference, we're going to have a little bit of fun. There's two dots between the threes. Just put your fists out and say dot, dot. It's a lot of fun. All the cool people do it. Will you read with me nice and loud, Romans 3:3? It says, what if some were unfaithful? Will their unfaithfulness nullify God's faithfulness? Romans 3, dot, dot, 3. Now that we've read the text, let's go to God in prayer. God, we desperately need you because on our own strength, we're not strong enough to change the world. We don't have enough discipline. We don't have enough motivation to radically live for you. It's impossible to do unless you get a hold of our hearts. So I ask right now that you would just speak, that you would move, that you would do immeasurably more than we could ask or imagine. And God, I ask that you would just change us, that you would start with us, and that in our lifetime, we would see the world changed to fall in love with you. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord. You are my rock and my redeemer. In Jesus' name, amen. You may have a seat. So we need a little bit of context for what we're reading today. Paul writes to the Christians in Rome, and a common issue that was happening in the church world back in Paul's day was this division between Jewish Christians and Gentile Christians. And I hope that you will read a lot of Paul's letters. He wrote over half of the New Testament, so I hope you'll spend some time reading it. And if you read any of his letters, you will see this theme comes up over and over again. That there's the Jewish Christians who are prideful and who look down at other people and judge other people. And then there are the Gentile Christians. The Gentile Christians who are kind of loosey-goosey with their faith. They're like, I love Jesus and I get drunk. I love Jesus and I sleep with whoever I want to sleep with. I love Jesus and God forgives me so I can do whatever I want. And those two groups of people are in the church together. And Paul constantly addresses both groups. And we're going to see him address the Jewish Christians that were causing some problems in the church in Rome. And I think if you've been a Christian for any amount of time, I think you're going to be able to relate to what Paul says. Romans 2, 18 through 21. Paul writes, if you know his will, talking about God's will, if you know God's will and approve of what is superior because you are instructed by the law. The law is the scriptures, specifically the Ten Commandments, the basis for their faith. If you are convinced that you are a guide for the blind, a light for those who are in the dark, an instructor of the foolish, a teacher of little children, because you have in the law the embodiment of knowledge and truth, you then who teach others, do you not teach yourself? This is incredibly important. Paul is asking them a question to get them to reflect on their own life. He sees that in a lot of ways they have righteousness and they follow a lot of the commandments of God. But what he also sees in their life is that they have a lot of pride and that they look down at other people. And this is a common problem with Christians. In fact, Paul addresses it in another one of his letters. Paul says that knowledge puffs up. And what he means by that is that you should explore your faith. You need to study your faith. You should read the Bible for yourself. You need to grow in your knowledge. It is next to impossible to be an apathetic Christian. You should be passionate for God and following after him with all your heart. But that comes with a warning label. And the warning label is be careful. Because if you do not live out what you learn, you will become prideful. And when you become prideful, you will look down at other people. And that's what was happening with the Jewish Christians. Instead of loving people, they were judging people. It reminds me of a quote from author Philip Yancey. He says, Christians get very angry toward other Christians who sin differently than they do. Have you ever experienced that? Maybe online or maybe someone you went to church with who just seem incredibly judgmental. And you're like, man, like, I know you love God. I know you have some righteousness. I know you live for him. But come on, like, you're not perfect either. Why are you so hard on me? That's what Paul was dealing with. And the truth is that if you're not careful and if you don't start with teaching yourself and examining your own life, as you grow in your relationship with God, it will cause you to look at other people and point the finger and say, they don't love God like I do. But when you examine your own life, what you find out is that you got a lot of issues yourself. And you have a lot of brokenness. And you have a lot of junk that God is still dealing with in your life. And so Paul addresses that specifically in Romans 2, 22 through 24. This is him continually talking to the Jewish Christians. He says, you who preach against stealing, do you steal? You who say that people should not commit adultery, do you commit adultery? You who abhor idols, do you rob temples? You who boast in the law, do you dishonor God by breaking the law? As it is written, God's name is blasphemed among the Gentiles because of you. What is Paul saying? Paul is saying that for these Jewish Christians, the fact that they are pointing out everyone's sin, but they are not living for God themselves, it is causing those that don't know God to say, I don't want anything to do with your God. And they are raising a fist and saying, I don't want to be a part of the church. The church is just full of what? Hypocrites. You ever heard that phrase before? And that is the title, that is the name that's been given to Christians, and it's not an American thing. It's been tagged on Christians since even Paul's day and age. And the answer to fix this is to not point the finger at other people. The answer to fix this is to look inward and say, you know what, I've got some junk that I got to work on myself. God, would you create in me a pure heart? God, would you change me? God, I have some wickedness in me. God, move in me. Help me to be the type of person that is an example for you. It starts with allowing God to change your heart. And this is incredibly important because someone is watching you. And they are going to come to a conclusion about church and God based off how you live your life. And that's why it's so important that we own our faith. Here's an important, if you're taking notes, I would encourage you to write this down. You cannot change what you choose to ignore. You cannot change what you choose to ignore. Whenever I give talks like this, I always feel bad because I don't want people to feel this heavy burden and just be so focused on their own sin that they're like, oh, I'm just a horrible person and God can never use me. I want to make sure that you hear this. God uses broken people because that's all there are. All of us have sinned. But it's not either or. It's not God only uses perfect people or that God can't use me. It's that God is going to use broken people, but as he's using me, I'm supposed to allow him to change who I am. And I don't stay satisfied. I don't stay satisfied in my sin. And that takes us to our big idea for today. If you're taking notes, I encourage you to write this down or you can take a picture of it. It'll come up on the screen. The big idea is unicorn Christians don't ignore their sin. Now you'll see three dots in that, and that means this is to be continued. There's a second part to today's big idea. The second part of it, we're going to get to it in just a second. But before we get there, I want you to do, just for a second, I want you to internalize and look at your own life. Because it's so important that Paul says, do you practice what you preach? For those of you who say, don't steal, are you also stealing? For those of you who teach, don't have adultery, are you also living that out in your own life? For those that say they are Christians, are you practicing what you preach? And it's incredibly important to analyze your own life because when you analyze your own life, it makes it really hard to judge other people. The truth is that two opposing ideas can live inside of a human being. I love Jesus and I'm imperfect. I want to be thin and I want to eat everything I want to eat. Those are opposing ideas. I want to save money and I spend a lot of money on Funko Pops. I have a picture just to show you some of my Funko Pops. I don't know if anyone else collects them. That's just my Office collection from the TV show The Office. I have dozens more. That idea does not go together. You cannot say I want to be a person who saves money and saves for retirement and spend money on little Funko Pops. Two conflicting ideas. And every single one of us has those ideas living inside of us. Everyone. I love Jesus, and yet I also love sin. Those two things shouldn't exist, but they do. And when you realize that it exists in you, you are no longer judgmental towards other people. And when someone in leadership breaks your heart because they have a moral failure, instead of judging them, your heart breaks for them because you're like, if it were not for the grace of God, that would be me. Because all of us have these two things wrestling inside of us. And we cannot control other people. We cannot change other people. And so that's why Paul says, do you teach yourself? Do you practice what you preach? Do you live out your own, faith? Today, since you're here, and I'm so thankful that you're here, I want to make sure that you hear this. I don't want any of you to walk away from the faith because there's too many people that are walking away from Christianity. What I want, though, is I want other people to walk towards the faith because of you. And that happens not when you pretend to be perfect. It happens when you own your own junk and allow God to move in your life. When we pretend to be perfect, it just pushes people away. And we cannot improve our own lives on the things that we ignore. So what do we do, though, when someone lets us down? What do we do when a Christian breaks our heart? What do we do when a Christian has a moral failure? Where Paul addresses that, because this is both hand. He's talking to the Jewish Christians, and he tells them, you've got to live out your faith. But then he addresses what happens when they don't live out their faith. In Romans 3:3, Paul says, what if some were unfaithful? Will their unfaithfulness nullify God's faithfulness? Will someone who says they love Jesus but then denies him by their lifestyle, will that nullify the faithfulness of God? And Paul's answer is no. Because we don't put our faith in other people. We put our faith in Jesus. So let me just please hear my heart on this. Next Level will let you down. Me as a pastor, I will let you down. Every Christian is imperfect. That's why I'm asking you and begging you and pleading with you to hear from God and start with yourself. Don't put your eyes on another person because they are imperfect. Put your eyes on Jesus. Because Jesus is the only perfect person. And he's the only one that won't let you down. So it takes us to the second part of our big idea. The big idea is unicorn Christians don't ignore their sin, comma, and they don't wait to become perfect to change the world. See, my fear with sermons like this is that because we're all broken, because we have our own issues, that when we start reflecting on our own lives and we start seeing the sin that we have, the natural conclusion is to say, well, God can't use me. And I'll wait for God to use me when I get my junk taken care of and when I get some things fixed. But that's not how Christianity works. It's both and. Unicorn Christians, we don't ignore our sin. We address our sin. We allow God to change us. At the exact same time, we don't wait to become perfect to change the world, because if we wait to become perfect, we're never going to change the world. It's both and. And it can become so easy to become jaded and cynical towards the church when we focus on the church. And that's why Christians, our calling is not to focus on the church, but to focus on Jesus. I shared this a little bit last week, and if you are here and you're an empath, if you're a person that has empathy, maybe you sense this. If you're not someone, maybe it just went over your head and you didn't know it. But like, I've been going through a season of discouragement. And the discouragement comes from when I look around and I feel like we've been trying to help people fall in love with Jesus, and we've been doing this thing where our whole mission is to love Jesus, love people, make a difference. And when I look around, I just don't see that many people actually living out their faith and making a difference. In fact, I see more people walking away from their faith than I see walking towards it. And I see more brokenness than I see people becoming whole. And it's just led me to feel discouraged. And I was feeling incredibly discouraged, and I love how God works because he always provides what we need. Someone who I didn't know, who I don't think I'd ever met, sent me a Facebook message that had no idea that I needed some encouragement. The Facebook message told me a story of how God has been using Next Level Church. As she started coming, she was invited by her friends to visit Next Level Church in November of 2019. And she came and just checked out the church and loved it and loved the messages and loved what God was doing and continued to watch online as we were all separated because of the coronavirus. But because of what God was doing in her and her friends' lives, they wanted to do something to try to make a difference, a practical difference in the world. And they could bake cookies. So they thought that they would spread kindness by baking cookies. And it started off as almost a hobby where they would bake cookies for their friends or those who were graduating or just kind of some local things. But then they became very passionate about it, and they went out and got their LLC, their business license, and they started their own business, Kindness Through Cookies. And she sends me this message and specifically tells me how the last series, Kill the Jerk, and this series, Unicorn Christians, has impacted her and encouraged her. And she has no idea that I read that and it was filling my soul back up, because I'd just been so discouraged. And then she sends me a picture of a cookie that was inspired by this series. They made a unicorn cookie. And today, as our gift to you guys for being here, as you leave, we have purchased for you Kindness Through Cookies, the unicorn cookie. Every single one of you is going to get one of those cookies. Yeah. And you can find Kindness Through Cookies on Facebook. You can order more cookies, and you can support a great local business with some amazing women who are part of Next Level Church. But the reason that I tell you their story It's because you never know how a simple act of kindness can change someone's life. So don't wait to start living out your faith for when you become perfect. Examine yourself and allow God to work on you. We all have some ways to grow. But while we wait for God to change us, let's keep being kind and let's keep changing the world. So that takes us to today's win. Today's win is to listen to God and do what he says. So I don't know where you're at in this series. I don't know what's going on in your brain. I don't know if you feel this pressure of like, oh my gosh, I can't live out my faith. I've got too much junk going on. Well, would you let God speak into that? Or maybe your pressure is you're like, I don't know how to make a difference. Well, would you just listen to God? Because maybe God wants to whisper to you, just make some cookies. I don't know what God's message is for you, but we've heard the text. We've heard what God said. Now let's get alone with God and ask him to speak to our hearts. So listen to God and do what he says. We spend a few seconds just talking to God with every head bowed and every eye closed. Would you spend a moment just listening? God, help us to be a people who take our faith serious and do what you tell us to do. Use us to change the world. In Jesus' name, amen.
We hope you've enjoyed and learned from today's podcast. If you'd like to connect with us further, you can check out our website at nextlevelchurch.net or find us on Facebook or Twitter.